Let me welcome you once again to our service this morning. Listening to Jeff, I thought I should just let it go. And the first remarks that Jeff gave us at the beginning of the service were very much to the heart. And what you said later about how grateful we are to be here in Australia. This week, three of my friends died in Chile of COVID, and today I was right here at the parking lot, and a friend from Spain called me and said, you know, me and my wife have COVID. I'm still going to preach tomorrow because in Spain tomorrow is Sunday, but let's see how it goes because some of his friends have also died. So we're very fortunate. And 2 weeks ago, my mom told me that in the U.S., in Spanish, she watched Spanish-speaking news in the U.S. She saw how they were interviewing people from Australia, how they done it here, how we have managed, or the government has managed to contain. And this man that just called me, he said, I saw a program yesterday about Australia, how you have done it. And so sometimes I know it sounds like when we pray for those in power, it doesn't make much of a change. Sometimes it does. So we give thanks to God. And I'm going to start this because last time I didn't start it and then I kept on talking. If you've been here for the last 4 weeks, the first week we talk about idolatry and how that is influenced by Satan himself, by the devil, by demons. In the second week, we saw how the people of God in the Old Testament were told not to consult the dead and not to talk to not to deal with spiritual beings. We're forgiven to have any communion with them. And how in Saul's case that came about. But we also saw how that carry on into the temple of the Lord, how they worship idols, other gods, even within God's temple, and how that also can affect us. And last week, we saw how Jesus confronted the evil powers. The first thing he did going to church or going to synagogue was, if you can remember, was expelling a demon expelling a demon from somebody. And how he said that if he does those things by the finger of God, referring to the Old Testament, when God fought against the evil powers through the 10 plagues. So some people like to just read the Bible as an archaeological book. Well, some people don't believe that this book has any archaeology. Everything's made up for some people. The good thing is that that every year they found something new. If you dig deep enough, you're going to find what the Bible says. But some people today, last week, I talked about how they don't believe that there are spiritual powers today. And I mentioned that some of those people were living in Germany, the country that was taken by evil during the 1930s and 40s. But some people who oppose that regime said that there's no devil, that that's only made up thing. And we have seen that throughout history, from the very first murder that we have in the Bible, chapter 4, we see that there are evil powers behind the things we do. Let me remind you, what you do, you're responsible for it. You're responsible. But we are also driven by these evil powers. And Paul, and I like to finish this with Paul. Actually, the book of Revelation talks about a lot about this stuff. I mentioned last week about the abyss. If you remember, the demons asked Jesus not to send them into the abyss. And then I show you how in the book of Revelation, the abyss comes back again, and what comes from it and what goes into it. So I haven't put that one actually on the net, so I'm going to put it maybe today. And today I want to finish with Paul. Paul confronted the powers of darkness. And today we still confront the powers of darkness. Maybe, as the saying goes, we have our own demons. Not meaning that we're demon-possessed, of course. But we have certain things that we know are wrong, yet we fight against them. But as we have sung today, all of that was canceled. If there's a real cancel culture, it's in Jesus. He canceled all of our sins. And he threw them at the bottom of the sea. And he's never, never going to remember them again if we confess them. I don't know if that brings you peace. I don't know if that brings you joy. But if God is willing to do that, then we can live in peace. So Paul confronted the evil powers. And let me take you to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, Paul confronts the evil powers. And remember, in the New Testament, Jesus confronts the evil powers, and he tells the demons to not to say who he was. That's mainly in Mark. In Mark, always Jesus says, be quiet. Remember, we read that in Mark, be quiet. Don't tell anybody who I am. Why? Because the demons or the devil is going to misinterpret Jesus' mission. But let me tell you this. This is chapter 16, verse 16. And listen. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, and this is Paul in Philippi, once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. An evil spirit that predicted the future. So there you go. Some of the spirits can predict the future. That's why in the Old Testament we're told not to console these spirits, not to console mediums, because we're called only to rely on who? On the Lord. But what happened? See, you can have this gift, this thing that you can predict the future. And what did they do with her? She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. Fortune telling. And when we were singing, I remember in Isaiah, I don't know if you can find it while you're there. In Isaiah, there's a verse that says that we don't follow fortune. Because even the Old Testament, this type of thinking was very much in the church. Fortune, is anybody here, Roman or Greek verse? if I'm not mistaken, it was a god. So when you see that in the Old Testament, they're having a go at it too. So this fortune-telling girl. So she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. And she's known by telling the future. She's known by knowing things that nobody knows. But what does Paul say? She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, oh, thank you for helping us, spirit. Thank you for telling everybody who we are. No, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. See how upside down things are? Because if you go into a town and somebody, oh yes, this is the man or this is the woman that brings you salvation, this is the, you have to listen to them. And you kind of know that, oh, you don't, do you profess Christ? No. Do you do this? No, no, but I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to say who you are. Okay. And at the end, Paul discerned that she wasn't doing them. She wasn't doing what she was supposed to do. But why? Because I told you last week, in this time, by calling somebody by name or revealing something of someone, they're actually putting that person into their into their midst, into their command. So they want to manipulate Paul, just like the demons wanted to manipulate Jesus. So Paul confronted this girl. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't know if you remember this. This is Paul again talking about something that happened to him. Apparently Paul is the greatest, well, not apparently, to me, he's the greatest apostle there was in the Bible. And I think Paul knew about it too. I think Paul knew. Because he says in verse 1, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago who was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. To paradise. And you know, Paul wasn't the only one saying that he was caught up in paradise. Rabbi Akiva, from the hundreds later from Paul, he also said he and two other friends were also caught up to paradise. And only he came back to tell about it. How convenient, yeah? Only he came back. But so this type of thinking within Judaism, it was common. People believed that they were taken to heaven. Because somebody else was taken to heaven. Who was also taken to heaven in the Bible? It's in the last book. John. So Paul was caught up to paradise and heard impressible things. Things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weakness. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool. So he can boast because what he's saying is true. He's not lying, because I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surprisingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. A messenger of Satan tormenting Paul. Some people suffer from mental illness or even physical illness, and they feel that they've been tormented by the devil himself. That's why some people think that this is Paul talking about not having good eyesight. In Galatians, he says that they would, Galatians or Philippians, he says that they would take out their eyes and give it to them because apparently he suffered from eyesight. They didn't have glasses. Thank God for glasses, yeah? And that's why some people also believe that Paul didn't write his own letters, because he says in Romans at the end, he says Tertius who write this letter, because Paul didn't have a good eyesight. Imagine trying to correct Paul's writing without not having good eyesight. It would be horrible. Spiritual powers are always been trying to take us away from the Lord. But the Lord has promised something The Lord has promised that nothing will separate us from the love of God. And this is what really, really fired me up when I was thinking about all this. Because in Romans 8:35, and I want you to find this and I want you to take it a heart. Romans 8:35. I'm going to be just reading scripture and telling you, because this is gold, my brothers and sisters. These are the promises that God has made for us. Remember when we break bread, this is the body given for us. This is the blood given for us. And this is what Jesus has done for us. Let's start from verse 35. Well, he's talking about from verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life. And we're going to see this again somewhere else. It is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who's interceding for us in heaven? Not my mom. Oh, no, my mom's still alive, sorry. Not my grandma. Not other saint. Jesus is the one interceding in heaven on our behalf. And who's better than Jesus? The Father has never said no to Jesus. So if they see that Lewis is being bad, and then Jesus is interceding to the Father on my behalf, please, Father, have patience on him. And I bet you he's always doing that. Have patience on Lewis. I die for him. I pay with my blood for him. And the Father is not going to deny it. 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Love conquers. But not, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. That's why in John says, if we sin, that's okay, you can continue. No, if we sin, what do? We confess, and he's faithful to forgive our sins. But these powers try to push us to sin all the time. Before coming to Christ, we were slaves to these spiritual beings. And we can see that in Galatians 4:3. Galatians 4:3 says, so also when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces. And this is when, again, I said to Chris last week, I'm going to talk about a little bit of Greek mythology. Again, this is going back to the Greek way of thinking, elemental spirits. I don't know if you've seen Hercules, the Disney one. I remember those people who were in the abyss in Hades, yes. But there's also another place, Tartarus. In Tartarus, Tartarus is supposed to be even deeper than Hades. So the bad guy in the movie allows them to come out, and they are called the elementals. So in Greek thought, there was this thing that they were these spirits, these forces that could destroy the earth. But good for them, they had Zeus to stop them. That's their version of it. That's their understanding. Our understanding, the biblical understanding is that yes, there are evil spirits. But Jesus has conquered them. Yes, we were slaves to those spirits, to these elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because your sons and daughters, of course, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. And the spirit calls out, Abba. Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. People still live under slavery today. One of the good examples is the horoscope, as I mentioned last time. I'm going to see what the stars say. And that's what the Greeks believe. And that was the Romans believe, too. They look at the stars. All right, okay. I'm not going to do this today because my horoscope says this or that. You are being slaved by these elemental spirits. And Jesus comes and breaks all of that. No, your life is safe in God's hand. That's where we're safe. No one can pluck out of his hand. That's what what we sang this morning, yeah? No one can pluck us out of the hand of God. Not these elemental spirits, not these powerful forces. That's why Christians went to their death. Because even if they kill them, because we pray, and this is the thing about garments and about rulers. Paul knows that there's evil behind them, that there's evil spirits behind them. Remember what I said last week or the week before about in the book of Daniel, it talks about the rulers of different nations, and how in Psalm 82 it talks about the rulers of different nations as well. Just because we voted for them and they do good things doesn't mean that they're 100% good. There's evil. Because Jesus hasn't fully put his rule on earth. He hasn't put his... He rules in our hearts, but let me ask you, do we obey 100% 24 hours a day with our hearts, with our minds, with our deeds? No, we don't. And what do you think the people who are behind in garments? In the book of Revelation, how does John call the Roman Empire? What's the name that he uses to call the Roman Empire? Babylon, the beast, the whore. And then Paul says, pray. He says it twice. He says it in Romans 13, verse 2, and then in 1 Timothy, he says that we should pray for those in power so we can have good lives, so we can have, how was that the word say? We can live in peace. Yet, let's not forget that they are under the influence of the elemental spirits. But the good news is that we have been delivered from that. We have been delivered from them through the blood of Christ. That's why we can see. We can see that there's evil. We just don't imagine that there's evil. There is evil in people's hearts. There are evil organizations. There are people who traffic children. There are people who traffic women. There are people who make videos, not only videos where they show people's bodies, but there are also videos where they show people being killed because some people are so sick that they like looking at that. And we say, how can these people be so blind and so evil? You see people going to war and they do horrible things, and when they come back, they wanna still do that because there's a spirit that comes into this person, has a hold on that person. But we can claim freedom in Christ. And I'm saying all these things because I wanna make clear where we were saved from. But I was a normal person. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't watch these things. I didn't promote these things. I remember Ray Comfort. He's a Christian. And we did here. I did a bad person. We did a thing here about the Ten Commandments. If you remember. Yeah, this is years ago. This is like 14 years ago. Maybe 12 years ago. And somebody asked me, this older man who was coming to church, and he asked me, are you a good person? And I said, yeah. Okay, can you pass this test? And he started with the Ten Commandments. Do you take the name of God in vain? Sometimes I say the name of Jesus when something happens. Okay, well, that's the wrong thing. Do you steal? No, I don't actually steal, but have you ever taken something that is not of your property? Sometimes I go to Woolworths. This is my confession, okay? And I take some of the I used to. after doing that, I never did it again. And I take some of the fruit, the little one. How do you call it? I forgot now. Grapes, yes. I take some grapes. They're good. They're good. Yeah, but I walk away. So, is anybody here able to say the lips according to God's standards? No one, I think. And I hope no one, because then you'll be lying. Therefore, yes, some of us may be more under the influence of these evil spirits than others. But all of us sin, and everybody needs God's forgiveness. Colossians 2:8 says, see it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Philosophy is not bad. I love philosophy. But hollow and deceptive philosophy. And there are a lot of people, self-made people, that they talk and talk and talk, and some of them, I don't like them, but they talk faster than me. I mean, I talk fast. You haven't seen these people. They talk faster, and they have a better pronunciation than me. That's why they can speak very fast. But then, it says Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition, and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. I mentioned last week Guyana or Guyana, how do you say it? Guyana, yeah, Guyana. And I'm listening to this book. And I'm sorry, maybe you may have another position on this, but I'm listening to this book written by somebody who works with the FBI to bring people out of cults. And the name of the book is The Cult of Donald Trump. And he is comparing how unknowingly, because some people don't go to school to study to be a cult leader. You suddenly become a cult leader, or you have certain traits of being a cult leader. So he is talking about how these people talk and get people under their gaze and under the spell. Yes, it's true. Brown people are bad. Me. It's true, brown people are bad. They're coming to take our country. And that sort of thing. how people play people's minds. We're going to build the wall. And this is the example I want to give you. People say, I remember this, Mexico's going to pay for the wall. And then when they ask him in an interview, he said, I never said that. But Mexico is paying for the wall because all the trade that we're doing. So it's very deceptive. And I'm not saying I don't follow this guy. Yeah, I don't follow him. But I'm just saying how deceptive, hollow philosophy. This is what Paul is going on about. And people say, yeah, yeah, they're still paying for the wall. Yeah, yeah, because we they're paying taxes. But they didn't. And how many kilometers were done of the wall? Like, not much, and some of them was falling off. Because they wanted to keep people like me. I mean, I don't deny it. I went into the U.S. as an illegal alien. I don't deny it. My auntie went into it. She was 8 months pregnant. And she went into it, and she jumped the fence, and she went through the desert, and... It's true. People do all of that because they're desperate. Because, as I said, death squads came to my uncle's house to kill him. So they have to. They call him like 1 hour before. They're coming to kill you. Get out. Boom. They left. So there's some people who really need to get out, but some people don't. But that sort of stalk, you hook them. You hook people into believing certain things. Yeah. Yeah, that would be a good observation. But when people say everybody's bad, we're the only ones good here, we have to be careful. We have to raise our antennas. Beep, 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 beep. Brothers and sisters, our fight is not against flesh. It's against what? Spiritual beings. That's in Ephesians 6. If you want to see it, Ephesians 6:12. Bible says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities. Archon and exousias. Again, going back to Greek. Archon and exousias. Those are terms used for spiritual beings. Against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is not a game. Listen to the words that he's using. Again, let me read it again. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I hate those people. No. It's not against them. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's very easy to hate somebody because they don't think the way you do, because they don't hold your political views, because they don't hold even your religious views. But what if we say, if we bend our knee and say, Lord, reveal me who the real enemy is, who's behind that person. But let me finish in a good note, because I have to finish. Jesus has conquered all this. Jesus has done away with all this. All we have to do is believe it and follow Jesus. It may cost us, as we read, even our lives in Romans 8, 35 to the end. It may cost us our life. That's what he says, that even sword will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And he mentions angels. And you notice how that was interesting, because it's not even the angels or demons. Why does Paul talk about angels, that they may separate us from the love of God? And if you follow Colossians 2 to the verse to verse 18, he says, do not let anyone who delights in a false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. In Colossians, they were worshiping angels. Remember when John saw the angel, what did he do first? He bowed down, yes? And what did the angel say? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, give me all the glory. No, he said, no, don't bow, because I'm a servant like you. I'm a servant like you. And to tie this up, idolatry. From the Old Testament to the New, that's something that we suffer a lot. Idolatry. Jesus has conquered everything. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I love these things, chapter 15, verses 20 to 20, well, we're going to see. Says, remember that there were people doubting that Jesus came back from the dead. There were people who were doubting that. But Paul goes and says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, first fruit, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. Three terms used for spiritual beings. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The last enemy. It's not Satan. Imagine that. We always think that Satan will be the last enemy, yeah? We always think that the devil has to be defeated at the end. No, it's death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when he says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, and who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. So this is the end. That's how this is going to end up. In the meantime, we're trying to fight against these evil spirits through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And let me finish with this reading of Philippians. Philippians 2. This is a song. This is one of the oldest hymns that we have as Christians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and on to 11. Who being in very nature God, talking about Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And listen, brothers and sisters, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge or confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I know that while we are fighting on this earth, sometimes we feel that we may lose, but we have been promised that Jesus has already won. All we have to do is to believe, hold on to his promises, and continue to our aim, which is Jesus. Let us pray. There is no power stronger than you, Lord. You who died on a cross, who the Romans and the Jews thought that you were defeated, at that cross you defeated them. And you didn't defeat them because you hated them, but because you loved them. As we heard from the beginning from Jeff, you pray for them. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Because Jesus knew that they were being influenced by these evil powers. Lord, now that we have this knowledge, now that you have revealed this to us, let us keep on with the good fight with these new tools, with this new knowledge, so we can also live free from them. And as our initial reading said, you have put them to shame. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.